Well, good morning, church. I want to start out by saying thank you for coming out this morning, and I appreciate that very much. I hope and pray that as we get to worship together this morning, that the Lord will speak to you up close and personal through His Word, as always there. A couple of announcements here. There is still a need for those who might want to serve in the nursery. There's a sign-up sheet there on that little podium. If you would like to do that, see Sandra personally. If you would like to do that as well, we would love to have you serve. Just a few things, given the situation that we find ourselves in here with the coronavirus situation. We haven't been handshaking this morning. We haven't been hugging your necks this morning, and we probably shouldn't. So here's my deal for you. Thank you for being here. Love you and appreciate you, and I wish I could do this for real. I've been thinking about this quite a bit. You know, God didn't call us to an ignorant faith. God called us to an educated faith, to an honest faith, to an informed faith. And I believe if we're going to make a mistake, we ought to make that mistake on the side of safety, on the side of reality. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I realize that we're in a situation here. Some of it's blown out of proportion. Some of it's very real. And as pastor here, the last thing I would ever want to do would be to be actively involved or inactively involved in anything that might be negative here. So we're going to ask you not to shake hands and not to hug necks. And if you need to, put a little space between you and the person next door to you. Just do the things that we know that we need to do. And I'm sure, Rick, you had several other things that I probably forgot. Just yes, if you are sick, by all means, please stay home. That would be true if we didn't have this coronavirus situation. I'm not one of them preachers that's going to beat you up because you came here and you were sick, or you stayed home and you were sick. My heart is that you take care of yourself. Please take care of yourself. If you need to stay home, by all means, please stay home and take care of yourself. Given that situation, thank you so much for being here. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, there is a connection card in your bulletin. We would encourage you to fill that out. On the back of that, you can put any praise report, any prayer request that you might have. We would love for you to share with us those things that we would have the privilege to pray over, or information about you that we would love to have as well. So thank you so much for spending your time here today. May God bless you. Brother Mark.
Good morning, y'all. I'll just do this. It is great to see every one of you here. It really is. And let's stand and let's begin our service by singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," hymn number 54. Second verse, please.
Everybody, great is thy faithfulness, great.
Thank you. You may be seated. As most of you know, our president has declared today as a National Prayer Day. I'm very proud to stand up here and say at this church, we pray all the time. And at this time, we're going to ask our deacons to come forward. And any of you that might want to come up here, this is our time of prayer. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit, or if you're able and wanting to, please come forward at this time and have this time that we can go to prayer.
Dear Lord, we just ask that you be with us amongst this coronavirus. We put our trust in you, Lord. That's why we're here in church in your house this morning. Thank you so much for all that you do for us and keep us all safe in your arms. Please be with the Dixon family this morning, Lord, as they're going through some issues. Let the doctors have the healing of Teddy than to be with the family, Lord. Just watch over us and know that we are with you because we still have our church open, Lord. The virus is the virus, and we put our trust in you. Just be with us as we hear from Kenny. Then here's your word, Lord. Amen.
Let's all stand. Sing that he lives. Everybody please stand.
This Jesus you were looking for is no longer here. He is risen, just like he said.
I see. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be in your house, and I praise you for those who came, who you allow us just the opportunity to come into this place. God, you don't require anything of us except to be honored and to obey your commands. Lord, I just praise you for our people. I pray you continue to bless our people, keep us safe. And God, again, you're not surprised by anything that happened. You knew this virus was going to be here long before it ever happened, and you know the outcome as well. And I just thank you that we still have a church to come in and fellowship in it. With each other. But Lord, I do pray that we have common sense to know that, you know, we have some sanitation, we have out the gel to wash our hands, we don't hug or shake hands. But Lord, that doesn't mean we don't care and we don't want to fellowship. That means we just want to be safe with our people. But God, again, you know everything and you are the one in charge. And this will end at your timing as well. But Lord, again, I thank you for the opportunity to come in here to worship in a place like this. The place that we know that we serve a living, risen Savior. We don't serve a dead, buried Savior. And Lord, I just pray as we worship this morning, your Holy Spirit would just intervene in the lives of each one of us, that we'd be obedient to your calling. And Lord, as we take up this offering, as we had the Annie Armstrong promo here, Lord, I just pray, Lord, we would give that we could send missionaries throughout the world to tell people who don't know you. So just honor this blessing, this offering we're about to take, honor the people and multiply. And we use it in your further to your kingdom. And we give you honor for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's everybody stand and sing hymn number 140, Down at the Cross. Everyone stand, please. Thank you. You may be seated.
All right. Good morning again. I tell you, if you brought a Bible with you or if you didn't, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to share a couple of verses with you here that the Apostle Paul shared with the Philippian church. Wonderful words, powerful words. I pray God's blessing upon the reading of his word this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. These are words that Paul has shared with those believers at Philippi. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship time this morning, for the Sunday school hour, for the privilege that's ours, Father, to hear your word preached and sung and taught. I thank you, Lord, for each one that is here today. My prayer is very simple. Holy Spirit, please make your word, make the word of God very real today in the lives of those who have set aside this time. May we truly have a worship experience so that when we leave here, Lord, we would be different because we've been in your presence. And Father, we thank you for inviting us this morning into your presence. May we soak it up and live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2010, my wife and I were members at First Baptist Church at the Mall, now known as Lakes Church, and my pastor at that particular time was Dr. J. Dennis, whom I had great respect for and enjoyed being under his ministry. And there was a message that Pastor J. preached near the end of the year in 2010. It was one day after Christmas. And it spoke volumes to me, and I want to share some of that with you that came from Pastor Jay and some of those things that the Lord has given me to go along with that. I believe that if a message was worthy of being preached once, it's certainly worthy of being preached again. And I pray God's blessing upon this. And I thank Pastor Jay for having the insight to share these things. It's entitled, "It's Time to Put Some Things Behind You." There's something about the end of the year, basically, that speaks volumes to us. We gather around sometimes and we watch the ball drop, and it goes out of one year into another. You know, it can be a sad time, one filled with a lot of regrets for what didn't happen. Some fit with for, you know, what you didn't do, what you wish you could have done or should have done differently or better, and for things that happened that you wish that had not happened. And each year we look back and we think, you know, there may be some really good things that happened. This might have been a really good year with only a few storms that we had to endure. For others, it was completely different. You know, you look back at it and you thank goodness it's over. You had some really painful issues, some difficult times, some incredible loss, some heartbreaking loss. And one of the things that Pastor Jay said that spoke volumes to me, he says, "I want to help you this morning to maybe put some of those things behind you." That song that the choir just sang, you know, "I'm a sinner saved by grace. If you could know me then and see what I was then and what I am now by the grace of God what I am, because I am basically on my very best day. I'm a sinner saved by grace." The reality of the moment is this: Satan does not want you to feel at home in the grace of God. He does not want you to look up at the Lord Jesus and thank him for everything that he is, for all that he has done, for the things that he's going to do. He wants you to stay locked up in the past. He wants you to regret and live in regret. Paul says here some very pointed things. You know, today I want us to look back, not just at the past year, but back at your entire life maybe, confront some painful issues, and be able to overcome some of those things, to deliberately put them behind you. Paul made this statement, and it literally transformed his mistakes into opportunities. And he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, Paul said, "You know what? I haven't arrived here. I'm not above these things. I still draw breath like you do. I still have issues and things to overcome, just like you do," talking to the church at Philippi. "There are issues and things that go on that are painful for me as well. But I made a choice. I've made a conscious choice, and I want to share with you what that choice is. You know, I may not have arrived where I would like to be, but there's one thing that I'm going to do. There's one thing that I'm absolutely doing. I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I'm going to reach forth to those things that are before me. I'm not going to live in yesterday and the failure and the issues and the pain and the faults and the loss and the hurt that comes with yesterday. I consciously choose to move beyond that, to move above that. I want to learn from that process." And he uses the word that's very hard to get to: forgetting. Sometimes we avoid to change. We hang on to the past like a stuffed dog. Alan Alda said this: never have your dog stuffed. He tells about an 8-year-old boy that had his dog stuffed. Dog passed, and it was incredible. It was just terribly difficult for him. He was absolutely crushed. So they decided to have the dog stuffed, and they placed it on the porch in an effort to keep him around. And what they found out was that it was not so good a deal. It didn't work out very well, and it was also keeping delivery people away from the house. But the whole deal is we need to take a good look in the rearview mirror from time to time. But my friends, we all drive our car out the windshield, don't we? You don't drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. But every now and then it's wise to take a look. If we allow that, if we drive our car in the rearview mirror, the past can literally paralyze us. The past can discourage us. It can prevent us from moving forward. It can deny opportunities that our Lord would love for us to have. You know, it'll steal your dreams. It'll distress you by making you feel like, well, what's the use? I've tried this for such a long time and nothing's any different. Why should I continue on? It can break you. It cause you to fear. It can defeat your purposes. It can destroy your passion. It can cause you to miss God's purposes for you. It'll have you thinking, well, what if, or if only. And the thing about it is that we all have a past. It's as simple as it gets. And we all have a past. And sometimes when we look at that past, it's very discouraging. And I needed to hear this lesson, this message, when Pastor Jay preached it to me and to all of us who were in that congregation that morning. He said, make sure you understand that you hear me clearly. I get it that you have a past. I have a past. We all have a past, but we have a choice. And as long as we have a choice, we have an opportunity to do something different. And it becomes a really big deal here. Paul decided that he was going to move forward. He was not going to live in reverse. He was not going to live in yesterday. He was not going to look back at what might have been. He chose to move on, to move out, to move onward, and to move upward, recognizing and realizing that it would not be easy. He consciously chose to forget that which was behind. And he had a goal in mind. The prize of the upward call of God and Jesus Christ. Church, as long as we have a choice, I believe we have a responsibility. As long as we have a choice to see what God is doing today and what he wants to do tomorrow, we can use those things and that mindset in order to be able to help us handle what we're dealing with from our past. Paul is in hot pursuit of what I would call Christ-likeness. His desire is to be like Jesus Christ. And he was determined that his past was not going to keep him from doing that. I've been around a lot of people that have used the term, well, what's the use to try? Today's just like yesterday, and tomorrow's going to be just like today. Why should I bother? Why should I pour my energy into something that probably will never happen anyway, no matter what? Why should I look forward to tomorrow when today is terrible to begin with? And I believe with all my heart that that's exactly what Satan would want you to think. I've heard people say, if God only knew what I've been through in my past, he wouldn't want me in his family. Well, here's the good news. He knows everything you've ever done and everything you're ever going to do. And Jesus came to make sure that you knew that you will always be wanted in his family. And it becomes a matter of, will I trust Jesus or will I trust how I feel? And in verse 12 here in this chapter, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I don't know everything. I don't have every choice, right? I haven't made everything perfectly. But I can assure you this one thing. I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. I was brought to my knees by Jesus Christ. And that refers back to his conversion on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. It really happened for Paul there. He was going in this direction, hating Christians and Christianity, and he turned around and he went this way. Why is that? Because he chose to make that happen one day? No, because he was apprehended by Jesus Christ. And it changed his life and his world. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. I'm not perfect in any way, form, or fashion. But I need for you to know, and he's speaking to the church, I need for you to know that I'm after that. I'm following that. I'm headed in that direction. I've consciously chosen to be what I can be within my Savior's guidance, within his love, within his forgiveness, within his passion and his compassion for me. And he got off and he got headed in that direction. And I believe with all my heart how desperately we need passion in our walk and in our worship. And I shared this with the Sunday school class. It won't take me but a moment. I'm going to share it with you. I don't have too many fears in my life, but I do have one that's very real. And I trust that into the hands of the Lord Jesus. And I've shared this with you before. The greatest fear that I have in my life at this particular point, and I'm just going to be real and transparent, is that there will come a time in my life when I won't be passionate and sold out to do what I get to do now as your pastor. Because I believe with all my heart, when your passion disappears, your influence is going to disappear. Your desire to move forward is going to disappear. When your passion disappears and your enthusiasm goes away, you'll be able to just take this or leave it. And when you can just take it or leave it, Satan will have his way. Eventually, he's going to find something that you'll find disappointing or frustrating, and it will be the one tool that he uses to cause you to step away. Listen, every Sunday, everywhere in this country and around this world, there are people who walk out the back door churches and they never come back. Not there, not anywhere. Because Satan continues to remind them, you have all these failures in your life. What's the use for you to keep trying? Why move forward? It seems like every time you go two steps forward, you go three steps backwards. What's the difference? Why should you bother to try? And Paul helps us remind us, this is what we're called to. We're called to be enthusiastic. We're called to be passionate. We're called to move forward. And we need passionate Christians. And I believe that passionless Christianity is damaging our ministries. Who wants to belong to a church that has no passion, has no enthusiasm, has no desire? Who wants to show up when nobody wants to sing the great songs of the faith? Nobody wants to say amen or shout hallelujah from time to time. Who wants to see a guy stand behind the pulpit who doesn't believe in what he's preaching? Or a choir that doesn't believe in what they're singing? People don't want to be a part of that. And Paul is simply saying to this church, listen, I got a past. Yeah, it's not pretty. I got a lot of pain to be thinking about. But you know what? I'm going to forget about that. And I know what the problem is right here. Pastor, you have no idea what's happened to me in my past. And you are out of your mind if you think I could forget that. Well, I want to share with you really quickly a story out of the Old Testament. It's the life of Joseph. 17 years old, hated by his brothers. They thought they was going to kill him. They decided to sell him into slavery, make a buck. Sent him off down to Egypt, sold into slavery in a culture he knew nothing about at 17 years old. He was bought by Potiphar down there. He was falsely accused of rape. He was put in prison. He was forgotten for a couple of years in prison. But all this while, he was faithful to his Lord. And everything you read in Genesis chapter 39 through the end of the book is talking about how Joseph was trusted his God through everything, through good, through bad, through difficult, through being falsely accused. He hung in there and he did what he should have done. And God blessed it and he honored it. And one of the things that's so powerful about this story is you get over toward the end of this thing. He winds up second in charge in Egypt. He's given a woman to be his wife. His wife bears him two children. One of them is named Ephraim and the other one's named Manasseh. One of them means God has caused me to be faithful in the land of my affliction. That's what the name of that child meant. But the second one is the one I want you to hold on to. It says, God hath caused me to forget. You tell me, how would you forget that? And I read that and I just kind of snickered and I thought, there ain't nobody can forget that. There are things that I remember about my childhood when I was just a little bitty guy. I got a split in my finger right here where my dad told me to leave the concrete blocks alone because you're going to get hurt. And of course, at 5 years old, you're far smarter than your dad. Everybody knows that. So I pulled one block out and another block fell on there. And I've got that scar and it goes all the way from my fingernail all the way to the first little bend in my finger, and every time I look at that, I'm reminded of the event. But it doesn't hurt anymore. God hath caused me to forget, is what Joseph said. He didn't say, I reached deep inside of my great resources and I decided all of a sudden I'm just going to forget this. Yeah. You can recall things that happened in your lifetime, and it's as vivid as if it happened this morning. Some of those things, my friend, are painful. Some of those things are hurtful. They still got rough and sharp edges on them. There are memories that still bring us to tears. Paul said, listen, I choose to forget, not the memory, the pain. Some of you are stuck in your past. Some of you are still being beat up by choices that you made years ago, or maybe even days ago. How in the world are we going to get past that? Can we ever get past that? How can we do that? It starts by consciously saying, Lord, would you please remove the pain of yesterday from my life and allow me to rethink this process out. I need an intervention in my mind that will cause me to say deliberately and purposefully, I'm going to trust you to help me forget. Because Satan's going to beat you up about your past. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, if Satan continues to beat you up about your past, remind him of his future.
Amen.
Yeah. One day it's not going to be good for him. Forget. What in the world are you talking about? What do you mean forget? By definition, consciously choosing not to recall certain information. Choosing to intentionally neglect what you know. To give little attention to it by design. I don't believe we can ever erase our memory banks, but we can make its conscious refusal to allow the past not to influence us or turn us upside down in such a way that we don't no longer have a desire to serve our Lord. This is so personal to me because everybody has a past. And he tries to remind me of my own failures from time to time. And that's the reason I love that song the choir sang. On my very best day, I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But here's the good news. I am a sinner that's saved by the grace of God. I don't have to be locked down in my past. I don't have to be reminded every waking moment of all the failures that went on in my life. It's all about forgetting it. Asking God to remove the pain of the past, to set my mind on the future. And I believe that there are some here today who need to do that. You see, reality says, I don't get a redo or a do-over. I don't get one. Neither do you. I can't go back and I can't fix what happened yesterday. So if your past is a struggle for you and it has a stranglehold on you, I want to share with you in the next 20 minutes or so some ways that we can get past all of that. I'm not just going to talk about the fact that it's there. I want to talk about the idea that, you know what? It's possible to move beyond what's had a stranglehold on you maybe for years. First of all, you identify what it is you need to leave behind. I'm not a big fan of Dr. Phil, but every now and then he says something that makes sense to me. He says, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. Boy, that's gold. If I don't think I've got a problem and you can't convince me that I've got a problem, I'm not going to do anything about it. Because I'm going to believe that I don't have a problem. And I listen to Dr. Phil interview these people and their world has fallen apart in front of them. And then they tell him what it is they're doing about that situation. And he looks at them and he says, well, how's that working for you? It's like, ding, 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 ding. It's not working for me. That's right, because we're going about it in the wrong way. You have to identify it. For Paul, it was past failures. It was past losses, even victories. He could not live in the past with the persecutions and the murders and the toxic relationships, because we know who he was in the past. We know how much he hated Christianity. We know he killed Christians. We know he did what he could to destroy everything that Jesus tried to set up. You know, there are some things in the past that you wish you hadn't have done, or that you wish maybe hadn't have been done to you. Scars, painful memories. You know, we have to identify that. We need to bring it out in the light. We don't need to deny it. We don't need to pretend that it didn't happen. It did happen. We don't need to act as if everything's okay, because you know what? It's not okay. And it's never going to be okay until we do something about it. Let's just get real for a second. Maybe you had an affair. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe a bankruptcy. Maybe there was an abortion. Maybe you said some harsh words to somebody, made some bad choices, or you made some serious mistakes, and you're still paying for them to this day. Maybe something was done to you. Maybe it was an abuse or a betrayal or an abandonment or some kind of a trauma. Maybe somebody lied about you or misrepresented you or manipulated you. And we can go on and on and on and on. And I won't stand here this morning and pretend that I know what took place in your past. And make sure that you understand, I am not in any way making light of that. It's yours and it's real and you have to deal with it. I get that. Please don't think I'm making light of anything that took place in your past. But you know what it is that's holding you back. You wish it could have been different, that it hadn't happened, but it did. You need to get it out acknowledge it. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's time. Second of all, put your past under the blood of Jesus. And I love this part of it. Confess it to God and seek forgiveness if you're the one needing forgiveness. God will forgive you, and he promises, and he keeps every one of his promises to the letter. Repentance, my friend, gives us a sense of closure. It causes us to understand what God does. The blood of Jesus, according to 1 John 1:7, cleanses and forgives us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, according to Revelation 12, chapter verse 11, overcomes Satan. The blood of Jesus overcomes Satan. He's warning you to be locked in and trapped by your past. This word says Jesus is bigger. Jesus is stronger. The blood of Jesus overcomes. The blood of Jesus delivers us from bondage. Psalm 103, verse 12. Hebrews 2, 14. Isaiah 38, 17. And 43, 25. Third of all, the blood of Jesus can wash your memory. That's the point that Jay spoke and really got my attention. The blood of Jesus can wash your memory. That's what it did for Joseph. You say, well, Joseph's Old Testament. Doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus represents what he did on the cross for us. These are powerful scriptures. They're powerful memories. The blood will set us free, Hebrews 2:14. The blood will wash your memory. Psalm 103, verse 12 is about, you know, what God does with confess sin. And get this. He puts it as far as the east is from the west. If you had a globe, think about this. He didn't say from north to south because they're going to meet at some point. He said east to west, and the east never meets the west, and the west never meets the east. God puts it as far as the east is from the west, and God never remembers those things that have been forgiven. We really need to take a look at God's word, don't we? We need to remember what he said. You know, I think it's really, really important for you and I to remember what God said and what he says was absolutely true. I'm reminded of a lady that walked into the veterinarian office, and she had a limp duck in her hands. She walked into the veterinarian's office, and she hands it over to the veterinarian. She says, I think my duck is dead, but I'm not really sure. So the vet picks up the duck, he holds it in his hands, and it's as limp as a rag. And he looks at her, and he says, you know what, I think you're right. Your duck is dead. And then for a moment, she says, oh, wait. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just in a coma. And the vet says, okay. He looks a little bit puzzled and even annoyed. He says, well, we'll know in just a minute. So he lays the limp duck on the table, and he opens the door behind him, and a dog comes out. Dog puts his paws up on the table, sniffs that duck for about 30 seconds, looks over at the vet and goes, then he opens up another door and a cat comes out, picks up the cat, sets it on the table. Cat walks back and forth over top of the duck, back and forth, about six or seven times. Cat looks over at the vet and goes. So he looks over at the lady and he says, yep, well, that ought to do it. Your duck is dead. And then he turns around, he gets on his computer, punches in a few buttons in a second or so, printer prints an invoice. He says, you can pay this on the way out. She looks at it, it's $500. She almost falls on the floor. She said, you charge me $500 to tell me that my duck is dead? What's up with that? He said, well, if you'd have just took my word for it, I wouldn't have charged you nothing. But the lab report and the CAT scan, that costs money. Oh, God, forgive me. Why don't we just take God's word for it? He's got this, okay? I'm sorry, John. Hang in there, brother. I had to take a little edge off. This message is really up close and personal, and I get it. But shouldn't we take God at his word? Do we have to have a lab report and a CAT scan to know? I mean, come on. Come on. Paul said, I refuse to live in yesterday. Absolutely not going to do that. Because, see, I have something to look forward to. I have a forward look and an upward look in my life. I'm going to, get this word, I press toward the mark. I don't drag my feet. I don't go because I have to. I don't use this as the last resort. It's my joy, my desire, my passion, my enthusiasm. I'm after this. I press toward it. I'm moving forward by design and by desire. I want to be what God wants me to be. We are covered by the blood, church, and there's power in the blood, and we sing it. There's power in the blood. The third thing that matters here is do what you can to get closure concerning your past pain. Like I said a minute ago, we don't get to redo this. We don't have an undo this or a do-over. So we need to do everything that we can do possible. If something was done to you, you got to make a choice. You can either continue to live in that hurt, or you can interrupt the way you think and trust God to do something about it if you'll ask Him to give you the strength that you don't have on your own. I shared with you about my loss of my job at Coca-Cola and how I got accused of a lot of things that I did not do. And 3 days before Christmas and 6 weeks before vesting for my 10-year retirement, I was out of a job. It took me 3 years before I could look at a Coca-Cola truck without getting angry and bitter. And that truck didn't do a single thing to me. But I was locked into my past. I remembered on a daily basis when I'm out trying to find a job. Diana just retired after 13 years in an office in September. And 3 days before Christmas, I lost my job. We're looking at a brand new year with two little boys to raise and a house payment and everything that comes along with owning stuff. And neither one of us had a job. And to be quite honest with you, I was angry and I was hurt and I was bitter. And it took me a while to get over all of that. And I don't have time to share with you how it all went down. But I basically got told what for in a Bible study. And I asked for the Bible study. Go figure that. I wanted my friend to do a Bible study on anger because I was living in the middle of it. And I made a bunch of nasty comments during the Bible study, and 15 or 16 of my best friends in my whole world were sitting there in the living room. And Bob, who big tall guy who came here and led singing for us, he looked over at me and he said, "You know what's wrong with you?" Stuck his finger right there in my chest. "You know what's wrong with you?" And I looked back at him and I said, "No, why don't you tell me what's wrong with me?" That's great language and great attitude to have in the middle of a Bible study. And he said, "You're just ungrateful. That's what's wrong with you." Yeah, the same look you're getting right now is the look that I had. "Hey, brain, this is mouth. I need some words." Nothing. He said, "You need to wake up and look around a little bit. Do you see these people? They've been praying for you before you lost your job, especially since you lost your job. They love you and they appreciate you. This is your church family. You need to wake up and smell the roses." Yeah, it's bad. But you're not in this by yourself. Literally changed my life. Sometimes you need to hear, "Wake up! It's time to do something and stop whining and moaning about where you are in your life at this particular moment." Because let me say something to you. If it weren't for my church family, I wouldn't be here today. It's that simple. If it wasn't for my Heavenly Father, who gave me what I don't deserve and still continues to give me what I don't deserve, I wouldn't be here today. This message from Jay Dennis literally was something that I needed to hear, because I was locked up in my past. And you can get that way. But listen, everything is not on God to do. You need to do your part as well. You got, if you can make the rights, you can make the wrongs be right, then you need to do that. Interrupt your mind about the way you think about the past pain and the past hurt. You know, if not, you're going to do less and less than what God's best. And if you did something to hurt somebody, then go see them. Write a letter if you can't. Make a call. Make amends. Apologize. Don't defend what you did. Own it, okay? Accept the responsibility. If it's been done to you, you still have a choice. You can forgive. You can make a choice to do it under the Lord. You probably won't feel like forgiving, but if you do it under the Lord, you can trust the truth, not your feelings. Trust the truth. Trust what God says. Give it to me. I will help you with it. Confront if necessary. Make people aware. You hurt my feelings, and what you did was wrong. Forgiveness, my friend, is not the same thing as saying what you did was okay. We need to get to that place sometimes where as lovingly, as honestly as we can, we need to look somebody in the eyes and say, what you did was not okay. But I choose to forgive you because I don't want to be held hostage to my unforgiveness. And it goes deeper than that. There are times, my friend, when you need to go the next step and forgive yourself as well. You talk about a prison where there's very few keys to the bars. Get to that place where you can't or won't forgive yourself. That's a deep, dark place for you to live. It's more of an existence. The fourth thing is to understand the difference between guilt and conviction. Guilt will change you and it will take you hostage, and it has absolutely no feelings or emotions toward what's happening to you. Conviction, on the other hand, if it's acted upon, it can set you free. Because you see, when guilt holds you hostage, the longer you're held hostage, the less hope you have of ever being released. And that's really true. Satan will continue to bring up your past in order to keep you in bondage. He will shut off every access that he can. He will accuse you to God and others and yourself. Guilt offers you no hope to get beyond it. Holy Spirit, on the other hand, brings levels of conviction with the hope that the past can be forgiven and can set you free. My friend, forgiveness is as much for the person who gives it as it ever is for the person who receives it. That's why it is so incredibly valuable for our walk with the Lord. Unresolved issues can be healed by the Holy Spirit, but you got to confess them to God and to do your part by dealing with them. Just call it like it is. If you do this and you're still in bondage, you can recognize that that's Satan doing everything he can to keep you from doing the right thing. He wants to keep you there in that bondage so that you can't move one way or the other. Fifth, choose to release it to God. Have a from this day forward moment. Boy, did I ever need that. I come out of that Bible study, I didn't speak to my brother Bob for about 3 or 4 days. It hurt. But he was right. I shared with you since the day I walked in this building. I hope you will love me enough to tell me the truth. Because I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth. And what you do with it, my friend, is up to you. It's up to you. This is a choice. It's not a feeling. You choose to let it go to God. What's done is done. You can't go back and undo it. Acknowledge that he alone can change you and then trust him to do so. And that's your part. That's what you do. That's what I do. He did it with Paul. His painful past was transformed. That which can destroy you, given to God, can be used to deliver you. It's as simple as that. You know, draw a line in the sand, so to speak. Put the past behind you. Put it under the blood. Ask God to help you with your feelings like Joseph did. He said, God hath caused me to forget. Not me in my wisdom. Not me in my understanding. Not me in my determination. But God's caused me to forget. You draw that line in the sand, and then you accept God's grace. Paul understood God's grace to be absolutely sufficient for everything that he was involved in. He prayed. He said, I prayed three times for God to remove this thorn in my flesh, but I learned in the process that his grace is sufficient. And if it was sufficient for Paul, it'll be sufficient for us. Grace, what are you talking about, preacher? That's God's covering for confessed sins, broken spirits, and humble hearts. He's going to give you something that you didn't deserve or that you didn't earn. God forgives you, my friend. You are forgiven. It's as simple as that. If he says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Now will you forgive yourself? That's huge. And finally, I want to close with this. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and take responsibility for your life right now. When we got around the invitation, I thought, boy, oh boy. Everybody talks about the preacher stepping on their toes. Well, I had both feet hurting all the way up to my knees. Been there, done that. But he spoke the truth, and I needed to hear it. Because every now and then I still had a little bit of that anger and that bitterness and that frustration boiling up inside of me. And you may have that going on with you right now. There may be people in your life that you just absolutely can't stand to be around. They're roughing you up for whatever reason. They're causing your life to be miserable. Well, here's the deal. So you messed it up. You made a mistake. You blew it. Something bad happened to you. Please understand, I'm not minimizing that. Not at all am I minimizing that. You might have had something horrendously terrible happen to you. But please don't use what happened to you in the past to defend what you're doing in the present. Because for about 3 years, I had a lot of negative things going on in my life. Did I know something about this book? Sure. Did I do something about it? No. Make sure that your possibilities that you have in your future are bigger than the pain of your past. Make sure that you realize that when God speaks, he means it. When God promises, he delivers it. When you step up and do your part, then the promises of God are yours. Don't use it as a cop-out. Don't use it as a crutch. You ever heard the thing, well, here's why I act the way I act. Well, Jesus died and rose again so you wouldn't have to act that way. If you trust him, we just got to get to that place where we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. You can change today and tomorrow, but yesterday, my friend, it's gone. You can't fix it, but you can learn from it and you can grow from it. You can own it. Your spiritual growth is not the church's fault. It's up to you to learn what God has to say. I heard somebody say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you choose to be. That's the way you choose to be. So I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit of our Lord has spoken to your heart today. Please understand that there's nothing that I have said to you that was designed in any way whatsoever to be criticism. I pray that you heard more than just my voice. Today, I pray that the Spirit of God has spoken to you in a special way. Maybe it's just time to lay it down, to give it to God, to trust him, to wash you with the blood, and move on. Move on. He wants you well. He wants you happy. He wants you motivated. He wants you enthusiastic. And he wants us as a church, when we get this privilege, that we look and act like we really want to be here. Our God is so much bigger and so much better than anything we're ever going to do or ever going to provide. And I pray that today, maybe the Holy Spirit has comforted you in this process, and so be it. Maybe the Holy Spirit has confirmed you in this process, and so be it, because you did the right thing. But maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit has convicted you in this process that there's something you need to do with somebody you need to do that with. And I'm going to ask you if you'd do it. Would you step up? Would you take care of it? Would you take the key and unlock the prison that you're locked into called your past and watch and see what God would do? We read about Paul. God took him on to bigger and greater things, and he was one of the most incredible influences of all time for Christianity because he didn't get locked into his past. Would you step out as well? Maybe you're here and you're as lost as yesterday and you know that. Yep, Pastor, I've never had a moment in my life when I ever prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I can't go back and tell you that I know that that ever happened. And even if I did, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Nothing was any different. Maybe you had an emotional moment. Maybe you need to be saved today. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you just need to spend some time at this altar like we did earlier and just call it like it is and own it and watch the grace and the mercy and the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father do something in you that nothing or no one else on this planet would ever be able to do. Would you give him that chance? Would you let him be God to you today? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you are and all that you do. Thank you for a guy like Paul who didn't have a problem at all being transparent. No, he said, I'm not where I need to be, not where I want to be. I'm not finished. I'm not perfect. Oh, but make sure that you get this. I'm not living in yesterday. I'm pressing hard toward what I'm supposed to be for the glory of God and for my own personal growth. And we're all there, Lord, and we realize that. There's some decisions that need to be made today. Whether we get to see them up close and personal is not that important, but that they are made is every bit important. This is a divine appointment. We are here, Lord, because you wanted us here. Thank you for speaking to us through your word, through song, through prayer, through fellowship. We love you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you for helping us step out of our past and into our present. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 305.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Oh, not go with.
bow your heads as the instruments continue to play. Brother Kenny, just a couple announcements. We will have choir practice Wednesday night. And also at the end of the month, we have our fifth Sunday Singspiration. Going to do things just a little bit different. We will have singing. It may come a little bit from the congregation. It may come from a few individuals. And then we're also going to ask a few people if they'd like to give their testimony. And so I'm really looking forward to this. Everybody has been very positive for those that I've asked. And so please mark it on your calendar. Fifth Sunday night sing, I believe it's the 29th, if I'm not mistaken. Please plan on attending. Brother Carl, will you dismiss us, please? Amen.